"Yes, Lord," she said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." This was revelation for Martha. This was her declaring who Jesus really was.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. You are listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host. And in just a moment, you're going to hear from Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicago. He's talking to us today in the New Testament, in the book of John, about what Christ claimed to be, who he said he was. And today's passage, Jesus claims to be the resurrection and the life. What he's saying is, in this story, in this message about a funeral and him showing up and stepping into a broken moment, is that even the worst thing in life, the most all-consuming thing you can think of, like death, is not too big for Jesus to conquer. In fact, the hope he gives us, the promise he has for us, is a promise that lasts longer than life itself, into eternity. This is a powerful, powerful truth. You may be going through financial issues and family stresses or even some illnesses. Maybe your life is threatened right now. Maybe you are looking at the premature death of your own self or someone you love. This message couldn't have come at a better time for you. The claims of Christ to bring us life even after death are powerful and relevant for our day today. Pastor Mark is going to be opening the second half of this message in John chapter 11 as Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me," he says, "will live though they die, and by believing in me will never die." This is a powerful truth. John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life."
They called Thomas twin. Now, some people believe that church tradition says that they called Thomas twin because he looked a lot like Jesus. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know, but some tradition says that Thomas looked a lot like Jesus, and so because he was similar in appearance, they called him twin. And that would make sense here. So Thomas, called twin, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us go that we may all die." He's thinking, hey, they're looking to kill you, Jesus. I look like you, Jesus. I'm hanging around. What if they kill me thinking it was you? I'm not sure. All right, let's go. Let's go to our death. Number three. Not only, I'm talking about the timing of God. Not only will God often delay intervention until timing is right for him to move. God moves when his power is most able to increase the faith of many. Number three, God allows us to wrestle with circumstances to bring breakthrough revelation to our life. There are certain lessons you'll never learn until you get desperate. There are certain breakthroughs you'll never have until you go through a crisis. There are certain things you'll never learn about God, about life, until you're in a dark, dark moment. It was C.S. Lewis that says, "God whispers to us when things are going good, but pain is God's megaphone to speak into our life." Oh, some of you learn things in the valley of darkness, in the valley of crisis, about God, about yourself, and about life that you would have never learned any other way. There are certain things about crisis, certain things when you are desperate, certain things when you're going through pain, certain things when you don't think you can go on. There are certain words that you learn, certain lessons that are revealed to you, certain manifestations about God that unless you went through the valley, unless you went through the crisis, unless you experienced the pain, oh, God would have spoken them, but you would have never heard them unless you go through the dark valley where you are so broken, where the circumstances are so tough that finally you're listening to God. Finally, you're asking yourself the right questions. Finally, you're looking to the heavens. Sometimes it's in the dark moments that God can finally speak to us lessons that we could never learn any other way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha runs out of Bethany to meet Jesus, and finally, grasping for air, she finds Jesus and sees him, and she says, "If you had been here." Almost like, "Jesus, you're late. You missed your opportunity. Oh, I know you care, but if only you had been here on time." She completely misunderstood that God's timing was perfect. In her mind, he was late. But in God's mind, in the mind of Jesus, he was arriving right on time. "My brother would not have died, but I know that even God will give you whatever you ask." And so Jesus looks at her and he says, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha says, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She thinks he's talking about theology. And Jesus looks at her, almost like grasping her face in his hands and saying, "Martha, listen to me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes will never die. Do you believe this?" You see, Jesus was speaking something into Martha's life that finally she was grasping. What Jesus was saying is, "Listen, Martha, I am the resurrection. In other words, I am the one that gives new life, new beginnings, and I am life. And if you believe in me, though you die, you will continue to live, because when our body sheds its old house, when our body gets rid of this old house that houses our spirit and our soul, we continue to live. So someone may kill your body, but they cannot kill your soul. Life in Christ is everlasting. It starts now and it doesn't end. It goes into the next arena. Jesus was saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. I give you eternal life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will continue to live." She, for the first time, was grasping the revelation that Jesus was not only a miracle worker, that Jesus was not only a friend, but that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, and she could not have learned it except through this crisis. "Yes, Lord," she said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." This was revelation for Martha. This was her declaring who Jesus really was. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher's here," she said, "and is asking for you." And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. I want you to understand, and I want you to know this morning, listen, I believe that God is trying to speak to everybody that will listen. And I believe that some of you right now, as I speak, you find yourself in the fourth day. It may be the fourth day of a long difficulty with your marriage. It may be the fourth day where you've battled depression. It may be the fourth day where you're struggling with some sort of financial issue that's taken you down to the valley. It may be the fourth day because you've been affected physically somehow. It may be the fourth day because you've been struggling with something that weighs so much on you that you feel weighed down deeply. If it's the fourth day in your life, and other people have lost hope, and others don't know how you're going to come out of it, if it's the fourth day in your life, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open up your ears and hear what God is speaking to you. Because God is saying something to you right now, in the midst of the fourth day, that if you learn it, if you grasp it, it can turn and change your life around in the middle of crisis. I look back over my life and there have been some fourth days in my life. And I look back and I think it's in the middle of those crises, in those middle of the tough times where God has spoken to me sometimes so powerfully and deeply that those lessons, those words, those revelations have sustained me after that. But I know that I would have never learned it unless I would have gone through that tough, difficult time where I was saying, God, I'm listening. Speak to me. I want to hear you. And that leads to my fourth and final point. God moves in resurrection power when he is moved by the sincerity of our faith. I want you to see what it says here in verse 33. When Jesus approaches Mary, who's been at the house. Her sister Martha goes and whispers to her, hey, Jesus is looking for you. So she gets up quickly. People follow her. They think she's going to the tomb, but she's going to meet Jesus. And finally, when she meets Jesus, she tells Jesus the same thing Martha had told her. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I want you to hear me well. This is so powerful. Verse 33. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asks. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35. Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. But one of the most significant, powerful, deep verses of the Bible. Now, Jesus knew that in just a few minutes, he was going to raise Lazarus. If it would have been me, and Mary's weeping and the people are weeping, I would say, come on, just follow me, Watts. Okay, grab the tissue. Come on, don't worry. In a few minutes, they're going to see a resurrection. Jesus knew that Lazarus would rise again. But when he saw Mary weeping and he saw people mourning, it says that Jesus, when he looked at him, he felt their pain so deeply that he was troubled in his spirit. That word, that first phrase, troubled in his spirit, implies that he groaned in his spirit, that he groaned outwardly. And then later when he sees them, he weeps. He's not wailing, but he's weeping. Tears are flowing down his face, and Jesus is silently weeping.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. It's from Pastor Mark's series called CSI, Christ Said, I Am. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 11. Tonight's message is called, I Am the Resurrection and the Life.
What struck me about this, listen, is that even though sometimes we look at God and we have this sterile image of God, we think that God knows the past, the present, and future, which he does, but that he's unmoved by what we go through, that he doesn't sympathize by what we're experiencing. But even though he knew that Lazarus would be resurrected, Jesus looks at Mary and he weeps with her. He mourns with those who mourn. He rejoices with those who rejoice, because when Jesus sees people that he loves in pain, he feels their pain. And his heart of compassion flows strongly there. Some of you have gone through tough times and you've wondered, God, do you care? And what you don't know is that as your heart is breaking, the heart of God is breaking with you. Oh, you may say, well, God, you can change things. Oh, he was about to raise Lazarus, but he still wept with those that were weeping. I want you to know that the heart of God mourns with those who mourn. He rejoices with those who rejoice. That the heart of God is touched by people that are in pain. Even though he knows what the outcome is going to be, the heart of God is touched by those who are experiencing brokenness and pain in their life. I've done way too many funerals over the last 25 years. When I was young, I would try to theologically explain, comfort people, try to just say, well, you're going to see them in streets of gold, or God has a purpose and a plan. But I've sat with couples who have lost their newborn baby. I've talked to a mother whose six-year-old dies of a brain aneurysm. Put my arm around mother and father whose 17-year-old son is killed in gang violence. What I've learned over the years is I don't try to explain anymore. I don't try to make sense of it. I don't try to take the pain away. I don't try to explain what I think maybe God is doing. I've learned over the years that the best thing that I can do as a pastor and as an individual is just mourn with those who mourn. Just feel the pain of those who are feeling pain. Because in a moment like that, there's really nothing that you can say. There's no sense that can be made. There's nothing that you can say. But the greatest comfort sometimes that people need, it's what Jesus did. He didn't try to explained to Mary that her brother was about to be resurrected. He just wept with her. And what that meant is, I care about your pain. I share your pain. And sometimes a hug that says, I'm feeling it, I'm so sorry. Sometimes tears that you share, sadness that you share, conveys more hope and more encouragement than anything that you could do, because it simply says this: I know you're hurting, and you're hurting makes my heart hurt too. We need to learn from Jesus. Anybody that here that's ever lost a loved one very close, and you've had to be in a funeral line as people walk by, silly things are said at funerals. Sometimes to encourage, but sometimes they don't. The best thing that you can do is mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep. Let them know that you care. I'll never forget one day when at my house, when we had this guy that was coming off of drugs living with us. We were trying to help him kick his heroin addiction. And my father was living with us at the time, and we were sitting down in the living room, and he was telling a story about a girl in the neighborhood who everybody knew would get drunk, and just, she had a big addiction. And he said he would walk, sometimes see her going down the street stumbling, and sometimes she was half dressed, and he was kind of smirking as he said it, like kind of just casually saying that. And my father was there listening, and I was just listening to his story. And then suddenly I look over at my father, and his hands were down in his face, and he was just weeping, shoulders shaking, weeping. Thought it was an unusual reaction. We didn't know what to say. We just kind of stopped and looked at him. He didn't even know the girl. Never met her. Finally, when he raised his hands from his face and tears, just red eyes, he said, by the grace of God, I have a daughter, and that could be my daughter, except for the grace of God. I'll never forget that. I remember praying, oh God, let me love like that. Let me not grow callous to people's pain and needs and hurt, because there's pain all around. And sometimes we walk by it. But listen, I want you to know that the heart of Jesus has never grown callous, cold, or hard. He cares deeply, and he feels the pain of those that are going through the deepest of pain, and his people need to do it as well. The people of God, after his own heart. Then Jesus said, take me to the tomb. And some people said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind, also kept this man from dying? Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And he said, take away the stone. But Lord, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When Jesus had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The stone is rolled away. People are thinking, nah, he's been dead way too long. There is no hope. The body stinks. It's been like this too long. It's beyond hope. When the Son of Man appears on the spot, other people may say he can never come to life. There is no hope. But when the Son of Man appears with resurrection power, there is always hope. When the Son of Man appears with resurrection power, there is always hope. No matter if you stink from your past life, there is still hope. No matter if others say it's been too long, he can never change. You don't know. He's been that way. That no one can turn around. There is always hope. When Jesus shows on the scene with resurrection power, there is no life, no person, no situation that is beyond the power of God's hope. Because when the Son of Man raises his voice in resurrection power and says, come on, you dead person, rise up. Come on, you person that's been there too long, rise up. Come out. When Jesus speaks with resurrection power, he raises that which has been dead. He awakens that which has been asleep. He brings to life that which no one knew could come to life. And so all the crowd is watching. All the people are looking at Jesus. He's gone mad out of sorrow. And then as they look at the tomb, oh no, he doesn't just stroll out. He's wrapped in the bandages of death. He's like a mummy straddling out of the tomb. Lazarus has just come forth. Oh yeah, he's got the old clothing of death, but he's alive now. Oh yeah, he may look like he was dead because he just came from the grave, but he's alive. Oh, he may smell like a dead person, but now he's a live person in Jesus Christ. And I believe that power is still alive today in this place, resurrection power. I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be preaching it. If I didn't believe it so strongly, I would not give my life to it. I believe that there are people that have the clothes of their old self. I believe that there's drug addicts that don't think they can change, but God knows they can. I believe that there's people that have never claimed the name of Jesus and they can change. I believe there's people here today that don't believe they could ever turn around because they've never heard the words, come forth. Come forth, get out of that cave, come to the life that Jesus has called you to. I believe it. Listen, that's why this place is called New Life Community Church. That's why we believe that God's resurrection power is here present every time we come together in Jesus' name. That's why this is not about religion, but this is about the living presence of God taking the old and making it new. That's what this is all about. That's why I encourage you and invite you, bring whoever you want to bring here, whether they don't believe in God, whether they're too far gone, whether others have given up on them, because we want this place to be full of resurrection stories.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called CSI, Christ Said I Am. Tonight was the second half of his message called I Am the Resurrection and the Life. Join us on the next Straight Talk for part 4, I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk. Have a great night, and God bless.